The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's here in this Epiphany time every couple of years or so that the Gospels alert us to Jesus' calling his first disciples. This year we read the text of Philip and Nathanael. We don't get to read that every single year. And this year is unlike most because this year we get to do a little bit of a double dip. Not only do we get to hear about the story of Jesus calling Philip and Nathanael, but next week we also get to hear about Jesus calling those disciples who would become his inner circle, Peter and his brother Andrew, James and John. We get to hear that next week. So for the next 2 weeks or so, we have an opportunity to talk about discipleship and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Philip and Nathanael. Let's take those two for example. You know, we probably consider ourselves to be faithful Christians, faithful followers of our Lord Jesus, but we also probably consider ourselves to be somewhat obscure. We don't do a lot of talking about Philip and Nathanael when we talk about the disciples of Jesus, when we talk about the apostles who built the church. Philip and Nathanael aren't really on the forefront of those things that we lift up, those things that we mention. And we are the same. We don't point to ourselves as great examples of faith. We don't point to ourselves as those who are significant in the landscape of Christianity throughout the world. And, you know, just to make my point, I'm sure, you raise your hand if you've written a number of books about Christianity and theology. Go ahead and raise your hand. Well, raise your hand if you have some sort of institution, you know, Christian institution, a school, a seminary, or a church named after you. You see, we're fairly obscure. We're just regular folks called to tell others about Jesus Christ. And, you know, that's Philip and Nathanael. Philip and Nathanael aren't people that are right there on the tips of our tongue when we talk about the story of Jesus Christ and talk about how the church was built. But we can learn a lot of things about being disciples of Jesus Christ. We can learn a lot. We can learn much from Philip and Nathanael. And that's the reason why we lift up this text in the church every so often. Because we want to know what it means to be a follower of Jesus. When Jesus says, "Come, follow me," and we agree, we want to know what it means to be a follower. I would suggest that we have three aspects that we can talk about becoming followers of Jesus and becoming trustworthy disciples of our Lord. The first one is that when we encounter Jesus, And we agree, or we take Jesus at his word and we follow him, we have to realize that we didn't find Jesus. So many people these days say they found Jesus. You know, we didn't find Jesus. Jesus found us. Jesus found us. Remember way back, those of you my age, or maybe a little older, remember way back in the 70s, those yellow bumper stickers that you used to see everywhere? I found it. Anybody remember those? They used to be everywhere. There was a Christian evangelical movement which proclaimed, I found it. And people would ask, well, what does that mean? Well, the implication there was if you looked hard enough, if you searched hard enough and you were faithful enough, you could find God's mercy and grace through Jesus Christ. If you looked in all the right places, you would find the Messiah. You would find the Savior. You know, so many people thought they had found Jesus back then. And they would put that bumper sticker on their car, I found it. But soon, you know, after they put that bumper sticker on their car, they struggled to live their life on their own in a different way, they would lose their excitement about finding whatever it is they found, and they would fall back into their old life. People don't find Jesus. Jesus finds people. Jesus isn't lost. People are lost. For centuries, the Christian church, for centuries, called people who did not know Christ, people who did not read Scripture, people who were not a part of the church, people, the church called them those who are lost. Those who are lost. You know, just as we read about Jesus in the parable of the lost sheep, Jesus came for the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus came to seek out sinners. Jesus came to seek out those who were in need of God's grace. And when he would find them, he would pour out God's blessings upon them. You know, leaving the place where he was baptized there in Galilee, Jesus found Philip. That's how our gospel text begins. Jesus found Philip. He found Philip just as he finds all people. Jesus found Philip broken. Jesus found Philip wandering. Jesus found Philip a sinner in need of redemption. Jesus found him in need of God's redeeming grace and love. He found him and he called him. He called him to follow. The lost don't find Jesus. Jesus finds the lost. That's the first thing we need to realize if we're going to become disciples of our Lord. He finds us, and he calls us out of our life to live a life not of the world, but a life worthy of his calling, a life worthy of the gospel. The second aspect of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, the second aspect of what it means to be a disciple of Christ, is to do what Philip did. What did Philip do when Jesus called him, when Jesus said, follow me? Many people would expect that the first thing that we would do, if Jesus were to come here and call each one of us and say, follow me, many people would expect the first thing we'd do is we'd run after him, we'd start to live a life worthy of the gospel immediately, we would go and do all these faithful things, we would start churches, we would start Bible studies, we would start missionaries, we'd do all of these wonderful things. We'd begin looking for a church to join, one that was exciting and vibrant. That's what you would think would be the first step to do once Jesus called you. But what's the first thing that Philip did? Philip went and found Nathanael. He didn't go out and burn up the roads looking for ways to establish new congregations and things. He went and he told somebody. Somebody close to him, somebody who he knew. He went and he told Nathanael. He told him about Jesus. He told him about everything that he could possibly think of about Jesus. He shared the exciting story of how Jesus called him from a life out of the world and called him to come follow him. This one who Moses and the prophets wrote about so long ago. The one they've been waiting for, the one that they've been anticipating. He invited Nathanael to come and see. He told him all of these wonderful things and invited him to come and see. Usually, when we invite people to come and see, they don't know what that means. Usually we say, come and see, you're going to help us spread the word. But what does it mean to spread the word? Usually when we spread the word, we come to a congregation and we leave it up to somebody else to spread the word. We just like to say we're affiliated with that congregation. We're affiliated with that vibrant, exciting, outgoing church. Spreading the word doesn't mean that we actually come and sit in the pews and listen to a sermon or read the scriptures or sing the hymns. It doesn't just simply involve other people. It doesn't just involve, you know, evangelism committees or social ministry committees and these kinds of things. The responsibility of spreading the word about Jesus Christ falls squarely on our shoulders. It means that we are to go tell others about the good things we heard from our Lord Himself. It's just like we don't leave stewardship just up to stewardship committees. We have a stake in these things. We just don't leave social ministry to social ministry committees. The whole church, the whole congregation is involved in all of these faithful practices. To be a disciple of Jesus means to take responsibility for the things that God has empowered you to do, understanding that the Holy Spirit is with you every step of the way. Most important part about Philip responding to Jesus' call was not that Philip did great things in building the church. The most important thing about Philip responding to Jesus' call is that he went and he found Nathanael and he told Nathanael the good news. And once he found Nathanael and told him that it was Jesus who called him, Philip shared everything and invited him to come with him. How many times do we invite people to come worship with us? How many times do we meet up with a friend or even a family member whom we know has been away from the church or is struggling in their faith? How many times do Christians usually invite someone to come worship with them? The truth is, it's very seldom. And when they do, when we finally get around to inviting someone, we're often disappointed in the fact that on Sunday morning that person didn't show up. They said they were going to be here, but they didn't come. A crucial part of inviting is accompanying. Philip invited Nathanael to come and see. And then he brought him to meet Jesus. We need to bring those whom we invite. We need to bring them to the place where they can meet Christ. And along the way, we need to share our enthusiasm for the gospel. We need to invite them to come and see. We need to accompany them. So when they go and when they get here, they don't arrive alone. You know, and then the third aspect of what it means to become a disciple of Jesus. Jesus spent 3 years teaching the disciples. He spent 3 years teaching them the ways of God. He spent 3 years modeling what it means to give yourself away for the sake of others. 3 years of demonstrating to the 12 how to live such a life. You know, even as society deems so many people today in our communities as unclean and untouchable and unlovable, Jesus proved that there really is nobody who is strictly out of bounds. Jesus proved to us that as we show the love of God in Christ Jesus, we can touch the hearts of so many people. Jesus ate with sinners and tax collectors. Jesus dined with Pharisees. Jesus went out and shared God's grace with the dregs of society who were all around him. He cleansed the lepers. He cast demons out of prostitutes. All of these things. He spent time with Gentiles, not necessarily in Jewish territory, but he even went to the Gentile territory, those places where the people were termed to be lower than dogs. Jesus went there. He ministered to them. He met their physical needs, but more than that, he met their needs for grace. How many times in our lives have we shied away from doing that same thing? How many times have we just felt uncomfortable and avoided the opportunity to share God's love with someone who society says isn't worthy? Jesus shows us that we can break down these barriers. Jesus shows us that such people are not untouchable. They're not unwanted. They're not unlovable. In Matthew's gospel, in the 25th chapter of Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, "As you have done it to the least of these, my brothers, you have done it to me." He's already shown us what it means to love God. He's already shown us what it means to love our neighbor. The hardest part about following Jesus is actually imitating him. The world has so much influence on we poor sinners. We hear the voices telling us to beware. We hear voices saying, "Be careful, stand clear, don't go there." We hear society say, "Oh, they're not like us. They're not worthy. They don't deserve the things that we have to give them. You won't be safe. You might get hurt." Jesus breaks down those barriers. He breaks down those barriers by showing the world the power of God's love. Jesus broke down the barriers between us and our sin. We're not worthy of God's love. Only through Jesus' death and resurrection are we made worthy of God's love. Only through his offering up his life on the cross are we made worthy. People of God, this is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Our NALC, for the last several years, has had a focus on becoming disciples of Jesus. From our bishop on down, the leaders of our denomination strive to model this behavior. They strive to model the things that we read about in the calling of Philip and Nathaniel. Going and telling others when we hear the good news. Accompanying them as we go. And then as we get there and we hear the good news preached again and again and again and receive the sacrament of Holy Communion, and we pray for God's empowerment, for him to equip us with gifts for ministry, we go out into the world and we strive to imitate our Lord and Savior Jesus. This is what it means to become a disciple. Go share the good news with other people. Invite them to come worship with you here in this place. If they already have a congregation that they regularly attend, well, that's fine. That's a good thing. Maybe you would want to go worship with them and see how they worship. Maybe you'd want to go visit with them and have fellowship with them. In turn, invite them here to worship with us. We are all God's family. Invite them to come see God's goodness. Finally, as you invite people, accompany them. Don't have them go alone. Promise to be with them as they make that walk. And when we come here all together, we learn to imitate our Lord and Savior Jesus. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Worship him in his house. Receive the sacraments, the bread that's broken, the wine that's shared, those means of grace by which we receive forgiveness and the promise of everlasting life. And then go out into the world and share God's love with those whom society says are off limits. Those people who are out of bounds. Those people who are untouchable and unlovable. You know, these things aren't easy. They're difficult. We aren't likely the most prominent of Jesus' followers. We don't have libraries named after us, like Billy Graham. We don't have megachurches that people flock to hear every word that we say. We don't write libraries full of books that everybody is just busting to go out and buy. But we have a message that is good news, the most wonderful news that anybody could possibly receive. By God's grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, the power of his death and resurrection, our sins are forgiven. And we have the promise of eternal life. You've received, just like I have and just like all of us have in our baptism, the great commission to go into the world and make disciples. Baptizing, teaching, imitating Jesus for the sake of the world. It's scary. It's intimidating. But remember one thing. As you go out into the world and you share the good news, you don't go alone. Jesus says, I will be with you even to the end of the age. And with that, all the people of God said, Amen.